Hey, this episode is sponsored by Save More Spirits. Check them out for all your beer, wine, and liquor needs. They have all the macro brews, as well as a healthy offering of local beers and craft beers from all over the country. They have locations in Somerville, Medford, Cambridge, and Malden, and online ordering through Drizzly and Minibar. If you want to learn more, check out SaveMoreSpirits.com. That's S-A-V-M-O-R Spirits.com. All right, welcome to Brews and Bruins Friday bonus episode, a little bit of a crossover episode. My normal co-hosts, Drew and Cam, are not here. They're off skiing together, which I'm hoping turns into some kind of content and not into physical harm.
Are those the only two options?
I think fun might be the other option, but I'm here with my... Bowlet, Burritos and Other Less Important Things, a movie podcast, co-host Zach Phyllis.
How are you?
How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm back in my childhood bedroom because I'm visiting my folks for Christmas. One of those get tested, don't see anyone for 2 weeks, and then hang out with the two people that you do know around this holiday season. You know, just trying to be safe, but also not go crazy living in New York during this whole time.
Yeah, I spent my Christmas in San Diego. Haven't seen my parents in about a year, so looking forward to when that is over.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. So the reason why you're on, Zach, we got some questions about Treehouse Brewing Company. I forget what they call it.
I think it's Treehouse Brewing Company.
And I am not super experienced with them. I've had their beer a couple of times. I've never been to the brewery. And I feel like for a lot of people who live in the Boston area, it's kind of a trek. It's not too far away, but it's like, it's a whole thing.
It's in Charlton, which many things aren't in.
I believe it's closer to Springfield than it is to Boston. And then it's, I think, closest to Worcester.
It is from Amherst, Mass. It was about a 50-minute drive out there.
Okay.
So right in the south central Massachusetts area.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, if you are that far away, is it worth it? Is the beer worth it? Is the experience worth it?
Definitely. So I will give a few caveats. In COVID times, it is, they now do online ordering and pickup. So one of the big things with Treehouse beforehand was the comically long lines. I have been there, I don't know, about 5 times total in my life, which is medium for the average Treehouse person. I feel like people either go 1 time or 50 times, and 5 is a pretty rare amount. But in the past, I have had to get there early, wait in an hour and a half line, pick up as much beer as I possibly could because I don't normally live in the area. I live in New York, and this was a let's grab what we possibly can to bring back, because one of the big things about Treehouse is they don't the only place you can get their beer is at the brewery itself. There is the black market that exists, but you will never find this in a bar, in a bottle shop, in a liquor store. So it's this kind of intentionally hard to find very incredibly good beer. And while I was home this time, I realized that they did some online ordering and contactless pickup. And it was just about as easy as you could possibly do. Things open at 9:30. I ordered one thing. You have to pick it up that day. You know, there's a line of cars you go through. They call your number, in and out. In non-pandemic times, it is more of a experience. You're standing in line with hundreds of other people waiting to both pick up cases of beer and try some stuff that they have on site there. They recently moved into a absolutely gorgeous new facility in Charlton, which is sprawling, huge, has like a spillover parking lot down the the like private street that there is a shuttle for because it's so far away. It's like Six Flags or something like that down there where they have their own, you know, private security system. And it is, you know, you could spend your full day there. But right now it is a grab and go. So it is, it's a very different experience from what it usually is.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're not into the whole experience, it's probably a good time to go give it a try and get in and get out.
And
if you want the whole thing, then probably do that at some other time.
Yes. And one thing that they're doing right now is they're doing these sampler cases. So their beers are about, I don't know, $5, $6, $7, you know, one of the normal, very high end brewery cost. But they're making these pre-made cases where the one I got is 24 beers and I think 18 of them were different. So you're able to sample some of their IPAs, which they're, you know, which was what made them famous, and they're known for some of their Imperial Stouts, which are incredible and all like 10 to 12%. And then some of their kind of one-off weeded ales, smoked porters, stuff like that, which is a really nice way to try out a few of the different things that they have.
All right. So as a fellow Western Massachusettsian, masshole, whatever.
I prefer masshole way more than Western Massachusettsian.
I guess if I'm back in the area and like things are normal, I'd like to have that experience. I've only ever had their beer. I've never actually like gone to the place. So if we're ever back together, we'll do that.
If we're ever together again, ever, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a go with a friend, make a day out of it kind of experience. And they have so much space outdoors now that I think you're allowed to hang out on site, try. I think when I was there, you got 2 tickets to try 2 different things. They don't want you milling around for too long just because there's so many people coming there. You know, they have cops staked outside to direct traffic. It's like it takes up the whole area. So because it is so exclusive to picking it up at the brewery or finding some guy under a bridge to sell you it out of the back of his trunk.
All right. So what are you drinking?
So I am drinking one of their kind of more standard beers. They're green. They have Julius, which is their flagship, original, standard New England IPA. And then they have a few offshoots of Green, Sap, which are their standards. So I am always excited to have this. It is just the kind of pinnacle of a great 7% New England IPA.
All right.
One of the few times that we've recorded a podcast together where I can actually open the beer into the microphone, which is normally frowned upon.
All right. Well, I've got a Crooked Lane Mandarin Pale Ale, a 6.1% American Pale Ale.
Beautiful. It's weird. I forget exactly when Treehouse started. I think it was like early 2000 or 2010s, like 2010, 2011. And it was this real mythical figure for a while where, like Hetty Topper, it was so, so hard to come by back then that if you could manage to find one can of it, it was absolutely incredible. Now Hetty Topper is kind of expanded, at least in the Northeast, to bars and restaurants and bottle shops, but Treehouse has stuck to their like founding principle of if you want to get this beer, you have to get it here, which is something I commend and kind of hate.
Yeah, our West Coast version of, I guess, probably more Hetty Topper than anything Treehouse does is Russian River, mm-hmm. doing the Pliny the Elder and those are more available now than they used to be, but I think they're still coveted as one of the best beers around.
Yeah, and they aren't really resting on their laurels and making only one or two of their same beers. They've, like, expanded incredibly into this giant new space and are trying a bunch of new shit and have tried to make their brewery more, you know, friendly to actually visiting it. So they're injecting a ton of stuff back into the Charlton community and, you know, building a center that people want to actually go to. But it is still annoying as someone who has to, like, wait in line for a few hours that that's the only way you can get it.
All right, well, what are some other breweries that you would recommend to people who live in anywhere from central to western Mass, or if you have any Boston area breweries that as well?
Sure. One of my favorites is Stone Cow, which is a little east of the Quabbin out in Bear, Massachusetts, which is built on a family farm, and it's this real giant, sprawling location where super family friendly. I went there with my parents a few times, and, you know, very good beer brewed right on site. They have a whole barbecue pit smoker set up, hundreds of seats and tables, live music there. And it's somewhere that you can go and spend a full afternoon, bring anyone and everyone, even if they don't love beer, they'll have a great time. And it's a good hangout spot. So I would definitely recommend Stone Cow. You have never been there, right?
No.
Once you're allowed back on the East Coast, I think Dave would have a decent time there.
Yeah, he should probably get out of the house sometime.
Not now, though. Some other time.
No.
As far as other breweries, Progression Brewery in Northampton, which I think sprung up last year or 2 years ago, makes a ton of, it's a classic New England brewery where they make a ton of really good IPAs and then a good porter or stout, and that's kind of their whole lineup, but is, you know, 15 minutes from here and makes incredible beer. In the other end, I know Hermit Thrush has kind of become a local celebrity as well, which is located in Brattleboro, Vermont, that only does sours. And you can find their stuff distributed, I think, throughout the East Coast. But if you go to their actual brewery itself, they have a lot of the one-off barrel-aged, really hard to find, but super delicious beers that cost like $18 a can kind of thing. And those are worth picking up one or two and trying it out. And it's a sour like nothing I've tried before.
Cool.
So one of my favorite local spots. And then I will say the Hangar in Amherst, which purchased Amherst Brewing Company. Beers are surprisingly good for a sports bar.
Not bad.
God, remember sports bars?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say two breweries that I've never mentioned on the podcast, I don't think. East Hampton has kind of a burgeoning brewery scene, and Abandoned Building and New City are two really good ones.
Abandoned Building has some of the best, you know, affordable liquor store IPAs I've ever had for a 4-pack.
Cool.
And if you're in the Western Mass area and aren't much of a beer drinker, more of a cider drinker, Artifact Cider just opened up in Florence. That does a lot of the, you know, small batch, but, you know, really well balanced. I don't love sweet ciders. I am more of a dry cider person myself. And they have a lot of options, but mainly I think focus on dry ciders and blends and stuff like that. So would highly recommend. They opened up a new space in Florence, which is, you know, the kind of classic turn an old garage into somewhere that you'd actually want to hang out.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a good move for a space like that, because, I mean, typically, you know, you don't want people ruining floors by spilling things, and concrete floors are always good for that.
It is crazy how, what, 80% of breweries look the exact same?
a lot of them with the like garage door mm-hmm. that you pull up for.
Artifact the has that 100%.
That's Fall Brewing in San Diego.
It's where can we find old industrial space that we can trick people into thinking is a cool place to hang out. And I have bought that hook, line, and sinker so many
absolutely.
Times.
yeah, old wooden floors are big too mm-hmm. with like the
wrought iron.
Huge, yeah, that too. Yeah, it's I mean it's a scam, but hey.
But we're all falling for it. And we're fine with it. Totally. How happy do you think Big Shuffleboard is that craft breweries are a thing?
I mean, about as happy as they are mad that cruise ships are no longer a thing.
So, yeah, I think those kind of balance each other out. In New York, I went to a kind of... It's called Industry City, so it's a bunch of like small restaurants and bars and stuff like that in this old industrial factory setting. And they had this French version of bocce called pétanque, which is just a smaller and harder to play version of bocce because it's like a gravel field with like giant chunks of rock so your ball doesn't roll straight.
Great.
And you kind of just toss it up. And I was like, this isn't a real game. Like this you're making us think this is fun because you just had a bunch of extra gravel and a few like bocce balls and have turned this into something that other people think is fun.
Well, you bring up a good point. So I will say the Austin, Texas brewery scene is really cool. Mm-hmm. Not only because they have a lot of really good beers, but a lot of their brewery spaces are huge. Mm-hmm. And most breweries have a gigantic outside area for playing games and stuff like that. And I think if you haven't been there, once travel is an acceptable thing, I would say it's a great beer destination.
Oh, one thing I forgot to mention about Stone Cow. They have multiple ostriches and a mini horse that hang out in the same little stall area. So what more do I need to say?
No, you got that. I'm hook, line, and sinker. I'll be there.
God. Ostriches? Mean as shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't go near an ostrich, I don't think.
What about a mini horse?
I would look at them. They're pretty dumb. Mini horse? Yeah. Yeah, I'd go near a mini horse.
Mm-hmm. And their barbecue is pretty great as well, I think. Not the mini horse, but...
They don't barbecue mini horses.
Yeah, I think that's an ethical issue that we don't need to go into on this podcast.
Probably not.
So I live in New York City, and there are a few breweries that are kind of popping up now. Fifth Hammer out in Brooklyn has become one of my favorites and has grown from one that had like two or three beers, I think, right when it opened to having a really diverse lineup of saisons and sours and stouts and IPAs and kind of every single thing you can think of. And I really appreciate breweries that are doing that and are kind of experimenting, and some things don't work and they kind of know it, but you know, you try and you figure out what works, what doesn't, rather than just having, what, three beers total?
Yeah.
On the other side, Other Half, which makes some of the best IPAs, kind of just makes IPAs. And they're incredible at it, but they make a lot of IPAs. And the last one, which I think has the best brewery itself in New York City, is Grimm, which is out in Brooklyn as well, has this really nice, again, garage door style, but everything's painted white, so it feels a little bit different. Nice floral, planty brewery. out there. So,
so like rising tide in Portland a little bit.
I've never. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we went there.
We went there.
I'm on record on this podcast saying I didn't like their beer, so no need to pump their tires for any reason.
Okay, yeah, their beer was not good. And I also didn't like their brewery all that much.
No, it was weird. So Cam lives in Portland.
Gotcha.
Moved there pretty recently, and I think he and Drew went there together when he was up there. And I think they both liked the space, but it seemed like more like a time where you could be outdoors and stuff. And we were there when it was fucking cold out.
It was
and
what?
It was nighttime.
2 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 2 almost? Years ago. Yeah, I think so. Probably. December yeah, we 20th. Went right before. We went right before Christmas, I believe.
Yeah. We hit what, 5 breweries that day?
Yes, I think that was the number, but don't hold me to it.
Yeah, we didn't eat until we got in at noon and didn't eat until like 9.
We had the lunch at like 2 at
Duck Fat?
Lobster rolls and chowder.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then we did Duck Fat at like 9 p.m. for dinner.
Yep.
Which was way too long in between those two meals.
Way too many beers in between that as well.
And we went to that cocktail bar.
Yep. Forgot about that. Yeah, that was a bad idea.
I think it was a great idea.
Fair, sure. Portland breweries, I think my favorites were Bissell Brothers.
Bissell was definitely my favorite, followed by Oxbow.
Oxbow was, yeah, that farmhouse ale is something else.
And I appreciate breweries that are focused on things that aren't IPAs. They're a farmhouse saison kind of brewery. And Hermit Thrush is a sour focused brewery, and we need more of them because there are so many others that just kind of do standard fare IPAs and then a token stout or two.
Yeah, there's something to be said for going to a brewery and having a type of beer that's not like the 12th best style that brewery makes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like if you go to Oxbow and have their farmhouse, like that's
an excellent
beer. That's like the beer that they do. But if you have like a farmhouse style from somewhere else, that's probably not what they do usually.
Mm-hmm. I think, except for like Wachusett's blueberry ale, just no thank you in totality to something like that. That is one of the beers that I've seen at every single liquor store for the longest time and just never had it.
Yeah, I'm all set on that.
There are a few like old school New England breweries. What's the Sam Adams beer that's in all their mix packs the cherry wheat?
Cherry wheat. Wow. And then there's like
old Fezziwig.
Chocolate Bock or whatever.
Chocolate Bock's in there. And that was the thing that I would, like, steal out of the garage when my dad bought it when I was 20. And it was, I thought that's what beer tasted like. And I was like, oh, God, no. What were they thinking?
Yeah, I think I've mostly had those beers at your parents' place. Although my parents definitely bought a few of those for like New Year's Day parties and whatever.
It's the winter sampler that has 6 good beers and 2 just tire fires.
Yep. But shouts to Sam Adams. We hope to collaborate with you guys at some point. So never mind on all that stuff. All right. That should do it. I think unless you have anything else important to say.
No, I was just trying to think of anything else about Treehouse that might be helpful to tell people.
I think we're beyond it.
Yep, that's fair.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this bonus episode of Brews and Bruins. Thank you, Zach, for joining.
Happy to be here.
Hope everybody has a happy new year.